Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 236, recording this on 14th of November 2017. Mr. Rafe Blandford is actually busy again, but I'm hoping to get him for next week. And as we like to do, we get guests on in between. So today is a first-time guest. We have Siavash. Hi there.
This is Siavash, and I'm very glad to be here.
Yes, just give us your surname for the record.
My surname is Qahramani.
Which there's no relation between the spelling and pronunciation.
GH, we pronounce it as Gh, yes.
All right. Where are you in the world?
I live in Tehran, Iran, and I've been a long-time listener of your podcast, and I'm very glad that you chose me to be a guest here.
And we chose you partly not just because you're a fan, which is great, but you're also very, very highly qualified. In fact, you're probably the most highly qualified Microsoft enthusiast we've ever had on the podcast. So tell us your background in IT and your Microsoft qualifications.
Sure. Actually, I'm a software engineer from a university in Iran. And during my years in university, I started studying for Microsoft engineering. And now I have an MCSE degree. And meanwhile, I was studying Cisco's CCNP as well. And after that, I started working in IT, but due to some circumstances, I changed to medical field. And now I'm active in a part of a medical field which is related to integration, imaging, and controlling the devices, which is partially related to networking that I used to do. And I'm still using Microsoft products in my work.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. Just to give people a sense of your smartphone history, what was the first smartphone you owned?
Actually, the first smartphone I ever owned was the 9210i, the Nokia 9210i. I was a huge fan of the Nokia Communicator series. So I think from the 9210i onwards, I had each and every one of them. And I exchanged them for the new one and the new one and the next one. And I think the 9210, it was the first time I could receive fax on it, and I could receive very slow data on it as well, and could receive emails. And it ended up with the Nokia E90, one of the phones that I still love a lot. And I'm very sad that Microsoft dropped that line of communicators, and Nokia dropped it. And then I had to go for the Nokia E7, the last of, I think, keyboard products that Nokia had, and I started using Microsoft with the 920, then 925, 930, and now I have the 950 XL, and I'm using an Android, a BlackBerry DTEC 60. As my black Android secondary device.
Yeah, and that BlackBerry DTEC 60, by the way, just for people listening, is essentially exactly the same device as the Alcatel IDOL 4 Pro or IDOL 4S with Windows in the States. So basically, it's a very well-known bit of hardware. Have you been tempted? In your country, is the Alcatel IDOL 4 Pro or similar available?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't find the Alcatel nor the HP X3. But there is a reseller in Iran which is importing Microsoft products, and they're very active, and they still have brand new 950 XLs in stock.
Wow.
This is very interesting. in previous podcasts, I heard you were saying that you cannot find them any new brand new ones, but I can find it in Iran. I don't know where he imports it from, but they are available still.
Wow. Let's get this straight. In America and in most of Western Europe, you cannot buy a Lumia 950 XL new for love nor money, but if you go to Iran, there's loads of them.
Yeah, you can go to windowsphone.ir and you can see his website, and they have all this Lumia 950 and 950 XLs and dual SIM ones even for sale with very, very good prices. And you can find the older versions, even the 650, the 640 XL, and they're still importing it from somewhere that I'm not sure about.
Okay, so how happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10 with your Lumia 950 XL, bearing in mind it's the end of 2017 and the device is now 2 years old, but you've got it on the very latest Fall Creators Update Insiders Fast Ring Preview. But are you happy? Are you frustrated? Are there things you wish it did it that it doesn't?
Actually, I'm very happy. A little bit less happy that I was a few weeks ago, because I'm facing some issues with it that I think a restart will fix. But I've been running it in the on the fast ring from the day I got it, and I've been using Mozo cases. Now I have the leather ones. I have few. I have the wooden one and the black leather and the brown leather, and I'm changing them every 2 weeks, so it keeps it fresh for me. The looks is fresh at least. And the software wise, I like it a lot. There are some software gaps, and but for most cases, I'm using my Lumia 950. It's very stable. I haven't had any issues with crashing or anything else that I've seen on the internet and some users experience. So, and the only issue I've been having is that for a few weeks ago, it's not using my full bandwidth on Wi-Fi. I'm not sure why. And I asked Microsoft about it. They couldn't tell me a good answer, so I'm going to have to restart it again to see maybe there's a firmware or software issue that should be fixed.
Yeah. Did you see my editorial this morning where I entitled, "Every mobile operating system is on the verge of a breakdown and needs tender loving care." And the thesis here was that but our modern operating systems are so complex and the sheer number of real-time interactions so many that a developer, a manufacturer has to be absolutely on top of it and devoting resources to it to solve issues as they come up. And if an OS falls into disuse and disrepair, then the issues come thick and fast. And I don't think Windows 10 Mobile is necessarily getting that tender loving care anymore.
I agree with you, but it all depends on Microsoft and where they're going in the future. And right now, after the tweets that the Microsoft managers put out a few weeks ago, it was a month ago, it's a dilemma for me. I don't know what they're going to do next. There are so many possibilities, which we just, I think, have to wait to see what they do. And I think the Windows 10 Mobile is at a maturity level that it doesn't have that big of issues that should be fixed every day or every week now. And I think it's on a very stable level now that we can trust it. But of course, the features would not be added. But I think it's still usable for at least 2 or 3 years without any updates even.
Yeah, well, we've covered on the podcast before that Microsoft has promised to support every Windows 10 branch, including mobile, for 2 years after the launch of that particular branch. So, yes, for your 950 XL, which officially got this Feature 2 RS3 branch, I mean, you're looking at support now for another 2 years, assuming you're still happy with it. But where do you think Microsoft will go next year? We've had all these rumors of Surface phones, Surface mobile, foldable devices, Andromeda modular operating system. So give us your vision for what might happen next year.
Actually, I think Microsoft could go two ways with this. Either everything that they have done till now, as if you look closely, is that small bits here and there. First they announced Windows on ARM, which is a magnificent achievement. And they do a demo, I think it was on the HP X3, their demo, which was very fast, very fluent. And we see some talks with Qualcomm about it, and they don't announce anything else. And the patent of the foldable device comes out, but still no word from Microsoft. And the C-shell was introduced, but still not followed up by Microsoft. And the new Core OS, which now they're talking about, which I think still we don't have enough information about it. So either in the future, in the very close future, I hope, in first quarter of 2018, they're going to connect all of these dots together, which will get us a Surface device. I'm not sure if Microsoft is going to call it mobile or something Surface, which is going to be using a Snapdragon 835 or a similar processor, which is able to run Win32 applications as a full Windows 10, and it will be able to run as a mobile platform using C-shell or something similar. This is one way that they could go, and I think they would be very successful. On the other way is that they just focus on the software for Android and iOS, which I'm not sure if it's going to be a very good way for Microsoft. And I think we just have to wait and see what they do. But I really hope it's the first one.
Yeah, the fun part really is imagining what we might see in terms of an actual product. Now, yes, you can argue that they're going to apps and services on other platforms at the consumer phone level, and they have been doing that. And for example, they're putting selling the Samsung Galaxy S8 in some of the Microsoft stores, for example, in America. That's kind of thing. And I was playing with Android applications and Android applications by Microsoft on a device here, and I wrote that up a few weeks ago. So it's eminently doable. But the fun thing is imagining what Microsoft might do to extend Windows and UWP applications and the Universal Windows application platform onto mobile. And you can either picture yourself, well, you're a Nokia communicator fan, so imagine something that was a clamshell with a 6-inch QHD screen in a clamshell format with a full QWERTY keyboard. That would be an incredible device. I can't imagine that Microsoft necessarily would opt for that in 2018. But just before I go on, can you picture that? Something like a Nokia communicator, sort of 1.5 times the size, fully updated for 2018?
I think I dream about it every night. This is the ideal device that they could use. They could produce, I think, because the audience that Microsoft has and the users that are now using Microsoft platform and Windows Phone Mobile are the users that will appreciate such a form of a mobile device. And I think it will be very successful. And when the hardware is successful, the software and the developers will follow.
Yeah, and of course, one idea would be to, rather than have a physical QWERTY keyboard, you do what I think was done on one of the recent Windows 10 clamshells, whereby the bottom bit of underneath the hinge was not a physical keyboard, but a virtual keyboard on a slab of glass. So you could then have the rumored dual screen folding phone, where the bottom half below the hinge, that screen could either be screen or it could be a virtual QWERTY keyboard. Now that there's all sorts of possibilities there.
Yes, actually, because Microsoft is trying to relieve themselves of the mobile business that they think they have failed before, they're starting with a clean plate now. Yeah. And they can do anything that they want. And with the engineering team that is behind the Surface products, I think they're able to create anything that they want, which technology allows them. Look at the Surface Studio. Look at the Surface Pro 5 or Surface Pro, actually. This shows that the hardware is where Microsoft can improve and can actually pass other companies. Look how they've passed with the MacBooks. Now I'm seeing more and more Surface Pro devices, Surface Books even, replacing MacBooks even in Iran in professional places as well. And this can happen with the Surface Mobile or anything that we want to call it in the future.
Did you see the release of an Android dual-screen folding device about a month ago? I think the ZT Axon M. Did you see photos of that?
Yes, of course I saw it. Actually, I even saw the videos online on YouTube of it. It was not done as I hoped it would be. And I'm not sure if that Microsoft is going to do it the same. Because I think if Microsoft does it, the folding mechanism was different on the patents that Microsoft had. And both sides were the same, both sides of the phone which folds were the same size and the same depth.
Yeah.
But on this phone, it was different. It was just an LCD added to an existing phone with a foldable section.
Yeah. So while I hope that Microsoft do master a folding device, I'm slightly sceptical as to whether there's as much a market for that as what I'm about to suggest to you, Siavash. And that is, if you imagine your standard Surface Pro, which of course I'm sure you've got one, imagine that shrunk by 30% so that you've got a 7-inch diagonal, maybe a 7.5-inch diagonal screen, and you've got fairly small bezels, and then you've got a magnetic sort of clip-on typical Surface Pro style keyboard. Again, shrunk by 30%. In other words, you have a Surface Pro Mini. I think that might make a lot more sense for Microsoft because it's far less to go wrong in terms of hinges and mechanics. They know how to build the tablet form factor devices. They know how to shrink things down. They know how to make a good clip-on keyboard. I think a Surface Pro Mini, that might be the way to go.
Surface Pro Mini with LTE and USB Type-C and a very fast, I think a very fast processor, any type of, I think the latest Qualcomm, which is 835, I think can be great. And of course, with Quantinium feature, which I love a lot.
Yeah. And
I think that can be a winner as well. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, and I say with LTE, and if you want to make a phone call on it, you simply plug in some headphones or use Bluetooth headset and you take the call on the device. But, you know, not holding it up to your head as a phone, but you can still take calls on it if you need to. I think that's the way to go, really. There we are. So Surface Pro Mini, you heard it here first. Copyright Steve Litchfield.
Sure. Adding to the discussion that we have on the mobile is that you know that Microsoft is... trying to invest and actually investing in VR and augmented reality and AR. And I think without developing the mobile market, they will not be able to be successful in that section as well.
Yeah.
So this is something that they have to work on, and hopefully we can see some good future.
The reason Microsoft has been keeping Windows 10 Mobile updated at all, there's two reasons. One, of course, is that they do have some enterprise customers that they've made promises to, and they have to keep the OS supported for them. Two is, as they've said publicly, is that they intend to come back into the market with a device that has cellular connectivity and LTE data and all the various mobile stack. Therefore, they have to keep something going code-wise that they can then copy and paste from at the appropriate time. So it's clear that there's something is happening, as you say, but it's been an awfully long time now since the launch of the Lumia 950, and it's going to end up being 2.5 to 3 years between flagships, and that's just horrendous.
Exactly, and nothing to follow up and nothing to fit in between. This is very frustrating for the fans, I'm sure.
Yeah. Are you able to perhaps get hold of an Elite X3 or an Alcatel Idol 4 Pro via your wonderful importer?
Actually, I've asked them, but they haven't imported it yet. But in a few months for Christmas, I'll be in Europe and I'll try to buy one in there, in Germany or somewhere in Europe. I'll try to order it and buy it there.
Yeah, Germany is the hub for these devices. Certainly, Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, for example, when I ordered mine, everything, all the communications and all the links seem to come from Amazon Germany or Microsoft Germany, in which case it seems that is the hub. So if you go to Germany, you will buy one.
Exactly. So in a few months, I'll be able to report back.
Yeah. You wanted to chat on the future of augmented reality, and when we've talked about, Microsoft likes to talk about mixed reality, which is rather a mixed message if you ask me, but give us your thoughts on AR, HoloLens, where Microsoft is going in the future and whether it will succeed.
Actually, I think Microsoft can be very successful in this field because they were among the first companies to introduce augmented reality, and the device, which is the HoloLens, and the platform that HoloLens brings is still unique, and not even other companies, they cannot compete with it as I see it. And they've been working with many companies till now, and even the company that I work for, they are developing a software for HoloLens, which lets the surgeon see what the OR is going to be in the future after it's done, after we've built it for them. So they can experience the OR and they can experience the devices that are going to be installed in the OR. And I've seen it too in action in medical university in Germany, which was used to teach about human anatomy and doing some simple surgeries for the medical students. So this shows that I've seen NASA working on a software and other companies working on software for HoloLens as well, and the mixed reality, or it's better to say the augmented reality that HoloLens can bring changes the game, and no other company has such a device. Google Glass, I think, was trying to do something which failed. And I think this can be the future. But the problem for me is that Microsoft is still late on that as well, because they introduced it. They did the developer kit and they sold the developer kit, but I thought maybe by the end of 2017 they would have some devices for sale. I know they're selling some devices in China, but not all around the world.
Yeah, they're basically selling to developers at the moment and to very niche company and organization outlets. I think the when HoloLens, if HoloLens is really going to take off, if the idea of Microsoft mixed reality is really going to take off, they need to have something that is at least accessible to gamers and consumers. And I'm guessing somewhere in the sort of £200, £300, £400, £500 mark. They can't keep selling HoloLens at whatever it is, £2,500.
Yeah. I think it's $3,000. They're £2,500. They have to decrease the price, but the hardware is at a level that they even can ask for more, maybe £1,000 even. For me, at least, it would be logical if they sell it, if it's announced in the market and users could buy it for £1,000. Personally, I would pay for it because I think this is the future and this is the way that we are going to the future. And I think because the hardware that it has, it's still worth it.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Google Glass back in the day because you could be worn. It wasn't just a big visor that sat across your face and made you look a bit strange walking down the street. You could literally clip it onto your existing glasses or to a glasses frame, and it would just be a small slab of glass with a few chips that would provide you with genuine augmented reality and information relevant to your daily life. And the reason Google Glass failed, of course, was privacy concerns. The fact that it centered really on its camera functions. But if you took away if you de-emphasized the camera functions or made it absolutely obvious when the camera was on, I still think that whole concept of Google Glass and something coming in at a consumer accessible price, that could do very well for the man in the street. I would love to go around and have a mini Windows 10 device popping up notifications and things in the corner of my eye through a Google Glass style optics. I'd love that.
Everyone wants to be like Iron Man. Yeah, exactly. And I would love that too. But it depends on the function that we want from the device. Something like a HoloLens is much more advanced than Google Glass could ever be. Yeah. You know, it was a mono vision, but in HoloLens we have dual vision, we have stereo vision, and we can conceive depths and distances. I've tried a Google Glass, and I think for something like searching for a coffee shop, getting directions, and this kind of stuff, it would be a great device. But if you want something more advanced, maybe in the future something to even replace your display, Google the HoloLens is the way to go. And imagine combining that with the Xbox One X and the whole Microsoft platform and the device family that they have. I think it would be unbeatable.
Yeah. As I said on the podcast before, I'm immensely impressed by the breadth of Microsoft's vision and having the same operating system, essentially a similar interface and the same one core, the same, a lot of the same modules for games consoles and tablets and laptops and mobile and so forth, and now HoloLens as well. At the same time, I do think that some of its competitors in terms of Google and Apple and others are more nimble. They're able to make more changes more quickly and to fit in the gaps that Microsoft leaves. And I do fear that Microsoft Vision may be a very elegant one, but not one that wins out in any kind of serious market share.
Actually, I think this vision could be very successful if Microsoft developed on it. I'm not sure why they left it as it is. And they didn't develop on it that much. Because at first, when they introduced this vision, I thought, okay, this is the way to go. With this way, I think Android and iOS will the market share for them will decrease a lot. And Windows will be the platform in 5 or 10 years in the future. And of course, HoloLens, developing the HoloLens and developing the Windows phone was one of the main pillars to reach to that destination with Microsoft ignored for some reason. I really cannot understand some of the decisions that were made under the new management. Because if you look at the Nokia devices with Microsoft platform, although they had very low market share, but it was growing. In some countries in Europe, you could see them even reach iOS. I think it was in Italy or Germany somewhere that the market share passed iOS. So it showed with the hardware of Nokia and with their ingenuity and with their creation, Microsoft could get somewhere. But with this acquisition and leaving Nokia, I think they destroyed most of the future that it could be Windows 10 on everything and the same core on everything. But still, I think there is hope. They have to emphasize on it a lot. They have to spend on it a lot. And they have to do marketing a lot. Because as you can see, Microsoft is not marketing any of these products that we are fan of, Windows Mobile or HoloLens or any other. If you remember, Nokia and other companies, HTC, were marketing Cortana very well in their ads and competing with Samsung and with iOS very well. And but they dropped it all. And I don't know, I cannot say how and why, because I'm not in Microsoft. But as a Microsoft fan, as a Microsoft certified engineer, I was very disappointed. But I'm still hopeful. They have a very long way to go. This is a future that they can have with the platform that they have. And I think I need to be hopeful, you know.
Yeah.
I need to be hopeful and I need to be looking for a new device.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned new management there, and I think that is the key, really. When Steve Ballmer was all about the acquisition of Nokia and to get a hardware, a mobile phone maker, a making capability within Microsoft.
Yes.
And then as soon as Ballmer left and Satya Nadella came in, Nadella was all about cloud and services and software. And I think Nadella basically wishes that they didn't have any hardware division at all. I think he's tolerating the Surface division and tolerating Panos Panay and the Surface devices, which ultimately aren't a massive part of global market share. But we kind of like them. We like the build. We like the design. And we like the fact that they are a kind of a flagship hardware platform. But I do think that Satya Nadella, deep down in his heart, thinks, I wish I was just cloud, wish I was just softwares and services, I wish hardware would be made by someone else.
Exactly. But as we've seen before, when you make the hardware and you have full control of the hardware, you can make sure that your software is running at the best optimum way that you want it, as Apple is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of their iPhones, and I've never used one for a long time. I've just tested them for a short period of time. But this is something that they're doing, so they can control everything. And Microsoft, they can license out the Windows and everything else. But the main thing that is going to bring them income, I think, will be their own hardware division. Of course, the new management comes from a cloud-based company before, which was working underside Microsoft and working with Microsoft, which now is some part of Microsoft. But I'm not sure that only software and only especially cloud-based services is going to be the future, because you will need the hardware here and there. And as you can see, the hardware is getting more and more powerful just to run these complex applications. Look at the new processors that Apple is producing. Look at the new processors that Qualcomm is producing. And look at the new laptops and surfaces that Microsoft is producing. This shows that with more complex applications, we need more advanced hardware. And the best way to do for Microsoft is just to be able to create the best of them, the flagship, and other companies such as HP, Acer, Asus, Lenovo, and all of these can produce their own version with Microsoft software. And I really, really hope that they don't cancel out the hardware division, because I think, unfortunately, that would be the death of Microsoft.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Yeah. Well, thanks ever so much for coming on, Siavash. Where can people find you online?
You can find me online and at Siavash, Siavash TechDad on Instagram and Twitter. And I usually post about technology. I used to have a podcast, but I don't have the time to record the podcast anymore. But I still post on technology news and my own views. And that was great.
Thank you very much for your English, by the way. I know it's not your first language, but your English is excellent. I suspect that
thank you very much.
Everybody listening to this caught 99.9% of what you had to say. So hopefully we'll hear from you again in the future.
Yes, for sure.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.